Grace and peace be to you this evening from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. As we gather to give thanks to God for His many blessings. Amen. You probably already noticed, if you looked at the altar tonight, that we're not going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper. It was not planned as part of our service this evening. So we will not see with our eyes tonight the outward signs of unity it brings to the church as we gather, standing or kneeling, shoulder to shoulder, as brothers and sisters in Christ. I have no problem with this, but it deserves mention as we will return to it later on. We are just hours away from a very special day, one in which most of us will find ourselves unified in another way, with Turkey. But for the majority, it's not just turkey. A turkey and dressing, mashed potatoes and gravy, or sweet potatoes, or both. Maybe a green bean casserole, cranberry sauce, and pumpkin or pecan pie, and whatever else you wish to add. Many of us will be in our homes giving thanks with family and or friends. And that's a wonderful thing also. So what will come of all this feasting? Well, if you're like me, a little too many helpings. The first sign of overindulgence may be the loosening of the belt buckle. You may feel like taking a nap. You may even fall asleep during the football game. For the majority of people, Thanksgiving is all about food and having lots of it. Come to think of it, that just about describes how we operate the other 364 days of the year also. In our American culture, we have something of an obsession with food. But there are some differences. Unlike the home-cooked meal many of us are waiting to enjoy tomorrow, on the other 364 days, we've become sort of a fast-food, prepackaged society. The satisfaction of a meal is based more on its quantity than its quality and its nutrients. It is estimated that we are so rushed and short of time in our society that the average American family eats about 40% of its meals out, which makes it pretty difficult to make nutritional choices. We are constantly on the run, and I include myself in this group, shoving Big Macs or something else in our mouth and washing them down with a Coke or a soft drink. Some people have at least improved to water. And the stark reality of the American society and its obsession with food was made into a movie in the year 2004. The title was Super Size Me by director Morgan Spurlock. I wonder if any of you saw it. Spurlock made a documentary of himself to find out what would happen if he ate McDonald's every day for a month. He had four rules to guide him. One, he had to supersize his meal if asked. Two, he could only eat food from McDonald's. Three, he had to eat everything on the menu in the course of a month. And for he had to eat three meals a day. Now, he was no fool. He lined up three doctors, a dietitian and an exercise physiologist to help him monitor things. They gave him a good look over at the beginning, and they confirmed he was in good health for a man his age. Now, what do you think happened? At the end of 30 days, he had gained 24 and a half pounds. His cholesterol count was up 65 points from 165 to 230. His body fat increased from 11 to 18%. He was informed that he had doubled his risk of heart disease and heart failure, and that his liver was covered with fat after just 30 days. Now, I'm not trying to spoil your Thanksgiving, okay? I'm really not. For most people, overeating like I do on one time, one meal a year is not going to cause all that much trouble, unless there's something really wrong with you. And you can still go to McDonald's once in a while. That's okay. I'll even come along with you if you'll pay. Okay? But let's not kid ourselves. You have probably all heard this. You are what you eat. The mirror doesn't lie. The blood tests don't lie. The checkups don't lie. They tell the story of our physical condition based on how we eat. Now, the conditions of our bodies is very important. But there is something even more important. We're not just bodies. It is our souls. We are not just an organic mass driven by some primitive need, as some people try to teach us. We were specially created by God in His image. We are body and soul, joined together as one, coming together to make one whole. And each one is in need of proper nourishment if we are to be a strong and healthy person. In our physical bodies, nourishment comes in through the mouth. And it's digested in the stomach. But for the soul, its nourishment comes through the eyes and ears and is digested in the mind. And just like the body, the health of the soul is affected by what is fed into it. Would you agree with me as we look around American society today that it's increasingly difficult to make good choices from the menu that feeds our souls? Consider the television shows, the mainstream music, so many of the magazines and books that we read, even some of the advertisements. What kind of a message do they send? Are we filling our minds with the kind of nourishment our souls need to be healthy? Or are we exposing them to the wrong things? Each of us should ask this question of themselves. And I hate to ask this question. I'm almost repeating what Pastor Mark said last Sunday. He says, I hate to speak about this. Well, I've got something I hate to speak about, but I've debated it and I'm going to ask you. Have you visited one of the pornographic sites on the computer recently? If so, remember what the Apostle Paul said about a believer's body. He said, quote, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" That has implications, doesn't it? We must not fool ourselves into thinking that we can ignore, easily handle these matters. I've heard this line right from my own family on occasion. It won't affect me. Too many people say or think that to themselves. And meanwhile, we're being desensitized to things that are pouring in through our eyes and ears. So, what is the remedy for all this? Well, as far as our body is concerned, by far the best solution is to change our diet and probably do more exercising. It's true for a body, and it's true for a soul. And we have the words of a dietitian here at tonight's service, in the words of the Apostle Paul, to a sin-sick world, to a soul-sick world, he presents a menu of things which will keep us strong and healthy spiritually. And Marianne read this earlier. I'll just read a small part. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And Paul's next verse is super important also. When he says, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." The question is, what are we filling our mind with? And Paul tells us to think about these things. He wants us to meditate on them. He wants us to chew on them for a while, not just gulp them down. And his list starts with something very important. If it didn't go beyond the first line, it would do you a lot of good nonetheless. He says, whatever is true. Jesus is the truth. And in John 8, he says this to all who have a concern for their souls. He says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." To our sin-sick souls, Jesus has come to bring life and forgiveness by his death on the cross. He is the remedy for our failures. His blood covers all of our sin and frees us from the sentence of eternal death. And as we gather tonight, I was happy for each face I saw, each person that came in the door. As we gather tonight, there are many things we can and should thank God for. But there is nothing more important to thank him for than salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the remedy for our ills. And what does Jesus tell us to do this evening? He says to, quote, "abide in my word," unquote. Do you know what abide means? It means to stay connected to Jesus Christ through his word. It's great that you were baptized. The the Lord has told us to be baptized. And most of you went to Sunday school and were confirmed, and that was great, and it gave you faith and spiritual strength at the time. But what is strengthening your faith and bringing you spiritual strength today? It is the Word of God. Don't neglect that. It is that of which Christ said, "My words are spirit and they are life." And that is what God calls on us to devour, to help maintain healthy souls. And at the same time, there is something else special that God is doing to take care of our souls. I spoke earlier about Holy Communion. We receive nourishment for our souls through our eyes and ears. But God has made one exception to that. It's the meal we call the Lord's Supper. In the mystery of the real presence of Christ, nourishment comes to our souls through our mouths. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we give thanks tonight for many things, but put the Holy Sacrament at the top of the list, as Jesus miraculously comes to us and imparts His body and blood, which nourishes our souls and sustains us in the one true faith until that great day when we shall see Him face to face. Yes, indeed. Thanks be to God. Amen.